Coronation Street. Any fans of this one? Where's that? Holby City. And the daddy of them all, EastEnders. There wasn't a hand went up for 4 seconds. No, you're not having that one. Too late. What is it that attracts you to soaps? Nothing. Most often, it's the development of characters as they do life together in a single space, isn't it? You watch and you see characters develop. And you don't form judgments about characters on a single appearance, but it's actually over a period of time. How many of you know where this is? Nevin! Nevin, where our youngsters go camping. It's been going for just over 50 years, and for many people, it's been a place where God has met them. Quick show of hands, how many people have been to Nevin? Good number of you, that's right. And as you meet young people throughout the Northwest, you find that they've been there and they've met God. And here, it's the home of volcanoes. This is the 50th anniversary of Nevin. And what did all these old codgers do to celebrate this 50th anniversary? We all went down to the beach and we built volcanoes. Why? It's a part of our culture. There's something that draws you to it. And as I've been leading Nevin for a good number of years, it's been great to see how young people and older leaders, and some of whom have now got grey hair, have been there and have met God and have developed gifts and skills and ministries and all sorts of things. It's a sort of a soap, in a way. It goes on in the same place. And the Bible has soaps, events that all take place in the same place. And where you see characters developing with each visit. Now, when we tend to look at Scripture, we look at Scripture and we form an opinion of the individuals that are in it. How would you feel if one instance of your life was recorded in Scripture? Maybe something that embarrassed you and is recorded for people to read for the next 2,000 years. You think, well, that's a bit unfair. They didn't mention that, or there wasn't this, or they didn't say this. Well, thankfully, life and soaps, and certainly Scripture, gives you a bigger picture. And it enables you to take a closer look at the journey rather than individual moments. So today, we're going to look at a Bible soap. Has anybody any idea where this very early photograph is? The original, incidentally, is in the Library of Congress in the USA. But does anybody know where this is? Anybody guess? It is real. It's not a fake. All right, let's take your picture. This is an artist's impression of what it might have looked 2,000 years ago. Any further? I'll give you another clue. This is what it looks like today. Anybody, any idea at all? No, it's not Bethlehem. It begins with the right letter. Begins with a B. In fact, the first four letters are right. Bethany. Bethany. There are two Bethanies mentioned in the Bible. But the one we're going to look at is about a mile and a half to the east of Preston on the south. Have we? Right, where's my sweetie Wallace? There were at least. Keep your hands up. Where are you? You're supposed to be sat in your boxes. Can you deliver to each of your groups quickly? Do you want to stay in the sections that you're supposed to be in, the four sections, and reward those people who were listening? Okay, so keep your hands up until you've had a sweet. It's about a mile and a half to the east of Jerusalem on the southeastern slopes of the Mount of Olives. when Jesus visited Bethlehem, when Jesus visited Jerusalem, another one here for a second one. Where, who's looking after this column? Thank you. Another one here. When Jesus visited Jerusalem, he stayed at Bethany. He's reported as attending at least two meals there, and he raised Lazarus from the dead there. Why should Jesus keep going there? Why should Jesus keep going there? Many early scholars thought that it meant the house of dates, but that was fairly quickly challenged by the scholars. And none of those roots appear in the Talmud or anything like that. And there's lots of learned debate. But the one that they're coming down to is that there is a non-Hebrew word, which is Syriac in background, which means house of misery, house of suffering, almshouse. It's a sort of almost a hospice sort of thing. They found lots of indications that an unusual number of people died there, which seems to indicate it was a place for suffering. It was a sort of place to look after the old and the frail and the infirm. But also, the temple scrolls in Qumran, and this is quite interesting, is there were three places caring for the sick east of Jerusalem. But if you know your Talmud, anybody know your Talmud? No? Leprosy was an unclean disease. If you had leprosy, you could not live within sight of the temple and within a certain distance of it. And Bethany is a couple of hundred yards outside of the line, and it's also just outside sight of the temple because the Mount of Olives is in between. It's a place where lepers, such as Simon, could go and live. And there have been lots of grave relics found with Lancashire names on them. Are you right? Quick, for our, where's our sweetie people? Could you give those out to those people with hands up, please? Lots of people with Galilean names on. And it was suggested that it was a refuge for people travelling to Jerusalem from Galilee along the Jericho Road. People went on the Jericho Road because it avoided Samaria. And the Jericho Road was also a very dangerous road, as you'll know. And some of these stories follow right on from the story of the Good Samaritan, which took place on the Jericho Road. It was a poor village. It was known for looking after the sick. It was known for looking after the ill, the frail, the needy. In fact, just the sort of place that Jesus would head for, isn't it? Just the sort of place that he would head for. Papa, would you like to bring us the first reading, please?
Taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, they entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her."
So that's our first significant episode. It appears immediately after Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, which took place on that same road out of Jerusalem. In fact, Bethany is just the sort of place to which the wounded traveller, or a wounded traveller, might have been taken. And his hearers knew the road well. So let's remind ourselves of the story. Who invited Jesus in? Martha. Martha invited Jesus in to her home. Who set the wheels in motion? Who's the instigator of it? Just so we're clear. Martha. Martha made the invitation. And Jesus goes and stays in the home. Who's in the kitchen getting the meal ready? Martha. Why? It's her house. It's her kitchen. She's the one that's responsible for getting them together. Who sat listening to Jesus? Mary. What does Martha think about this? Not happy. Not happy. Not happy. There's nothing to indicate that Mary and Martha lived together. We sometimes think they might have, but there is nothing to indicate that they did. This was Martha's house, Martha's invitation, Martha's kitchen, Martha's responsibility to prepare the food, if you like. We've no idea how old these two were. They could have been young, they could have been middle-aged, or they could have been old. We have no idea. But as host, it fell to Mary to prepare the meal. Sweets, please. It was Martha that prepared the meal. But she was distracted with all the work and she was frustrated with her sister. So she goes to Jesus and she says, "It's fine, I'll get on with it all on my own, thank you. I'm doing okay, I don't need any help." Absolutely not. Some more hands up there. Martha says to Jesus, "This isn't fair." Somebody behind you at the back there, that row. Sorry, I don't know your name. Have you got the sweets? Sorry, I don't know your name. There's somebody behind you, Eleanor. She asked Jesus to tell Mary to come and help. And what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Yeah, that's fine. Chill out. Relax. Maybe you're overdoing things. I love what you're doing. I love the food. It's going to be brilliant. But just chill. Mary's taking her opportunity, and it's a good thing. Having said that, she obviously made Jesus very welcome, because we read in other places that Jesus went back to Bethany. Jesus liked going a number of times, in fact. Question. Is your welcome for Jesus in your life such that he likes coming back? Does he become a regular visitor because of your invitation to Jesus to join in your life? When we look at this story on its own, we don't see the progression. And there's some interesting progressions as we go on. So just park all those things in your mind. You're going to need them again. Because Martha and Mary move on. And we need to move on with them. But in the meantime, Steve and the band are going to lead us in some more sung worship.
Stand. We're just going to sing one song.
Beautiful Lord. Wonderful Savior.
Please be seated and we'll pray. Speaking to God is a wonderful privilege. However old we are, however young we are. So let's all pray. Let's all listen carefully to our prayers. There won't be any deliberate mistakes in those. Let's listen carefully and make the prayers our own, however old we are, however young we are. Lord, we just thank you for everything that we enjoy, for peace and plenty. We think of those places around the world that don't have either of these. We think of trouble spots of the world, of places where people are being killed, They're starving. And Lord, we pray that you would bring peace and you bring the means by which people can live together. Lord, we just want you to work your way in our world as we thank you for all the things that we have. And Lord, we so often take our very lives for granted. And we just pray for Carol Fisher, who lost a son a week or so ago after a stroke a couple of years before that. For the suffering of the Fisher family and for Carol in particular. Lord, we're not intended to be burying our own kids, but that's what Carol's done. I pray, Lord, that you be with her and give peace and serenity and your comfort. Lord, we pray for all those people here today who've been making decisions about universities, where to go, what to do for their future. I pray, Lord, that you'd give them guidance as to where to go, what to do. Lord, you'd help them to see your perfect plan for them. And for those of us that are staying at home and for whom life will continue, as it has maybe in the last year, Lord, we ask that somehow you would help us to bring you into every step that we walk, that we might walk a God-centered life that pleases you each and every day. Let's finish by saying together the Lord's Prayer, which will be on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. The Henderson family are going to bring us our next reading.
A reading from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 2 and 17 to 44. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was sick.
When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got the word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died, but even now I know God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God."
Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?"
Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you, you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave cloths, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go."
Isn't that just brilliant? Isn't that just brilliant? This is the next incident that we read that happens. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. And this is the what is now a hole in a wall, which is thought to be the tomb where they'd laid him. Again, it's not really clear whether the siblings all lived together. But Lazarus was sick. And so the sisters decided to send for Jesus. They referred to Lazarus as his very dear friend. So there's clearly quite a relationship developed. It isn't just any old person. It's Lazarus, Jesus' very dear friend. Wouldn't you like to be called the very dear friend of Jesus, just as Lazarus was? And let's see how much you've noticed from the story. In the first story, we have who in the kitchen? Martha. And who came out? Mary. So in the story that we've just read, who's in the house?
Martha.
No. Who's in the house? Mary. Who comes out to meet Jesus? Martha. Martha has remembered about quality time. Martha has remembered that the one person that she wants to be with, even though she may have a servant heart, is actually Jesus. And so Martha goes out of the house. Don't know whose house, but Martha goes out of the house to meet and welcome Jesus. She has some quality time with Jesus. Jesus questions her about her faith. Her head's all over the place. She's lost her brother. And she knows that she called for Jesus to stop him from dying. But now that he'd actually died, that was it, wasn't it? It was too late. Dead men don't rise, do they? And Jesus says to her, he's going to rise again. And Martha says, with an eye to her eschatology, second coming teaching, "Yes, Lord, I know that he's going to rise again when you come again." And Jesus says, "No, I mean now." And then what happens? They don't go off to the tomb together, do they? What does Martha do? What does Martha do? Sends for Mary. Martha says, this is too good news for me to keep for myself. I want to share it. Go and get the person that's closest and dearest to me. She needs to hear this stuff. And so Martha goes and fetches Mary. And you know, there are times when we are in a crisis situation. Believe me, this was a crisis situation. And it reads to me from this that Martha was the woman for the crisis. She was the one who was taking the lead in all of this. She was the one, the rock, if you like, of the family, pulling it all together. And so she says to Mary, you need to come and hear what Jesus has got to say. And that's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? With our family, with those we love, those we care for. You know, you need to hear what Jesus has got to say. This is important. And Mary, maybe the more relational woman, she was with the people in the house. She was doing all the glad handing and the meeting and the weeping and all the sort of stuff that was going on. Jesus has a special relationship with both of them. Jesus doesn't squeeze us into molds, but he loves the personality we are. And just because you're somebody whose natural inclination is maybe the kitchen or working behind the scenes doesn't mean to say that you can't come out. And also the other way around. Mary, who'd been the one that was with Jesus at every opportunity before, is now the one who's staying inside. And we move, don't we? We change colours at different times. And we read in verse 33 that Jesus came angry. Not with them, but at the situation of grief and tragedy. And he goes to the tomb. And Mary says, Lord, he's going to stink something awful. Hands should have gone up then. It was Martha. Yes, some over there. Let's not miss out. Nobody else's hand was up, were they? Who wasn't listening to the reading? Somebody over there. Yes, we've got somebody over there who's looking after that section. It was Martha who said, Lord, he's going to stink. 4 days in the tomb. Absolutely. Martha is the practical one. Martha is the one who will always spot the little problem. And they go to the tomb. And Jesus says to Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus walks out of that tomb in his best suit. All right, some sweets around there, please. Wrapped up in his grave clothes. If we got somebody looking after there, you can walk around a bit, Nathan, if you want. It's all right. In his grave clothes, just as he was, looking a right old mess. And here's something for all of us. And it's a real, have you, right? It's a really serious point for all of us, you know, this bit. Mary and Martha did not for 1 minute think that Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But they wanted him to. And they prayed with all the faith and all the trust that they had. And that was enough. And you know, some people will say that you have to have astronomic faith to get answers to your prayers. But Jesus says, if you've got faith, even like a mustard seed, and a mustard seed is very small, then I'm there for you. I'll walk with you. I'll support you. I'll be what you need. And this passage tells us that if you today come to Jesus with all the faith you've got, however small it might be, if it's all you've got, that's enough for Jesus to intervene in your life and answer your prayers. Because he has remarkable power, and we're weak, and he knows that. And he loves you. He loves you for all of that. He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And if you welcome Jesus into your house as they did, he loves you too. And he wants to show his power in your lives.
The reading is from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. This is the New Living Translation. Jesus anointed at Bethany.
6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man who had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honour. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and the house was filled with fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said,
"That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor."
Not that he cared for the poor, he was a thief. And since he was in charge of a disciple's money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied,
"Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me."
When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man who had raised from the dead. Then the leading priests decided to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus.
Well read. That was great, wasn't it? Well done. So in the next chapter, we're still in Jerusalem. One there. Nobody else. We're in Bethany. We're in Bethany. John doesn't tell us who the host is, but it would seem from Mark's gospel, if you want to look at that in Mark chapter 14, verse 3, that we're now in the house of Simon the leper. Bethany was a good place for a leper to live. We've seen that. Just fitted the requirements of the Talmud, near to Jerusalem. The NIV refers to Simon the leper. The NLT said he'd previously had leprosy. The scripture doesn't actually tell us. We don't know. We don't know whether he was healed or not. But there are some things to note. For the house of a leper to be used as a feast to which people went made a big statement in those days. It was not the place that people would normally go. But for Simon the leper to host a feast, that was a big statement. People were very frightened of leprosy. Jesus always seems to be inclined towards the disadvantaged, towards the excluded, towards the suffering. Let's have a look again. Who's in the kitchen this time? Martha. Martha's back in the kitchen. Where's Mary? No, she's not in the kitchen this time. Martha's in the kitchen. Where's Mary this time? She's at Jesus' feet. She's at Jesus' feet again. Maybe Mary had been aware of another dinner that was hosted by a Pharisee, coincidentally called Simon, because Simon was a very common name then, in a different place and a different circumstances and a different time. You can read that in Luke chapter 7, where a prostitute had poured expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. And this time, Mary decides to do the same. And she pours very expensive nard over his feet. And if you read in Mark's account of the story, she actually pours it over his head as well. And she takes off a veil and she wipes his feet with her hair. Now that is an act of extreme devotion and certainly abandoned. People did not take their veils off lightly. Nard was a very expensive perfume, and it was a sort of perfume that they often used to anoint dead bodies with. It took the smell away. It was really a very significant and expensive, extravagant thing to do. Now, if you were in a particularly posh area of Jerusalem, and you know that's all right, I'm good try. If you were in a particularly posh area of Jerusalem and somebody put some expensive perfume on somebody's feet, maybe you wouldn't think twice. But what sort of a village are we in? What sort of village did I say Bethany was? It was a poor village. It was looking after the poor, the needy, the sick, the ill, the infirm. Would there be plenty of money about in a village like that? Judas will not have been the only one who was shocked. Judas will not have been the only one who was shocked. This was a wild amount of money in a poor village that could have been spent on any number of things, caring for the needy there. And it's interesting that that's the point at which Jesus says, actually in reassurance, you know, you'll always have the poor with you. You know, you will always be looking after the poor. You'll always be there for the poor. We know that's what your village is about. But actually, this time, it was special. And that's why Jesus affirms her prophetic act, because she didn't realize that she was pouring anointing oil on Jesus in readiness for his burial. Did Mary know of the significance of what she was doing at the time? Unlikely, really. Did she care? No. She wanted to extravagantly show her love and gratitude to the Lord Jesus. And you know, sometimes God uses our acts of devotion, which don't always appear logical at the time, in a prophetic way to fulfill his purposes. As we sum up, there's no doubt that the village of Bethany was hugely blessed by Jesus. Simon, Lazarus, Mary, Martha were all hugely impacted. But how did it all start? It all started when they invited Jesus into their lives right at the beginning. Yes, there will have been confession. Yes, there will have been tears. Yes, there will have been changes. Yes, there will have been receiving his teaching about sin and salvation, about accepting his reign and his rule in their lives. But that is the process that Jesus wants us to go through to live satisfying and eternal lives with him. Question: who do we roll out the blue carpet for? I think we have some sweeties around. Quite a lot, actually. In fact, if there's enough, do you want to give one to everybody? Have we got enough or not quite? See how we do. The question I want to ask you is, who do you roll out the red carpet for in your life? Who do you give the big welcome to? Because the call on us is to welcome Jesus into our lives. And when we do, he'll join us. And he'll join us in the routine. He'll join us regularly, just as he did at Bethany, in, out, always dropping by. Jesus wants to do life with you all the time. to be the place that he drops by, not when he's passing, because he's always with you. But he wants to walk with us. And this is the question for all of us, really. Jesus wants to walk with you. Do you want to walk with him? That's the question. Do you want to walk with him like that family at Bethany? Do you want to make him feel welcome in your house, by your behavior, by your attitudes, by your welcome, to welcome him into every room, every part of your life? Because that's what Jesus wants to do here in Fulwood, just as he did with those little inhabitants of that tiny poor village in Bethany 2,000 years ago. And for Bethany, read Fulwood, Wood Plumpton, wherever it is. Welcome him into your home. Welcome him into your life. You will see change. You'll receive change. But you will, like this family, receive blessing that will bless your socks off. I can't find a verse for that, but I'm sure it's there. Steve's got some great songs with the team just to take us out with.